At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Ms. Albert, you're aware that we actually sought records regarding Chloe and her bite history, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
Was it from this witness?
It was...
That's a yes or no from there. Yes or no?
Well, it was from a custodian.
Okay. I'm going to sustain the objection.
All right, Ms. Albert, I want to direct your attention back to the early morning of January 29th.
Mm-hmm.
You testified that everyone who arrived at your house just after midnight was sort of generally gathered at the table in the kitchen area, correct?
Yes.
And over the course of that evening, you had never heard any sort of disruption inside, correct?
No.
You didn't hear a crash?
No.
Certainly
there needs to be an answer.
Sorry, no.
You certainly never heard any screaming or yelling?
No.
And you never heard the screech of any brakes outside, correct?
Correct.
Okay. On July 20th, 2023, you testified before a grand jury, and Mr. Lally was not there, correct? And Adia McLaughlin was also not there, correct?
Okay.
Do you recall that?
Yes.
And you were specifically asked during the course of that hearing where everyone was positioned around the table that night.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that sort of line of questioning?
Yeah.
And you explained that your sister Jennifer was seated next to Brian Jr.
Objection, is there a question?
We're getting that question, so go ahead.
You were very specific about kind of how people were seated at that table that night. Do you remember that testimony? You explained that Jennifer was seated next to Brian Jr. and Matt McCabe was across from him. Do you recall that?
Yep.
But when you were asked where your husband and Brian Higgins were positioned at the table, you weren't able to place them there. Isn't that true?
Because I don't believe they ever sat at that table.
And what you told the grand jury during that hearing was that at least at one point, they had left the room and they were outside of your view, correct?
I'm not sure I said that.
You told the jury that you were cleaning and you weren't sure where they went, correct?
Well, initially when I first came in the house and I was doing my thing, I don't remember exactly where they were.
You told the grand jury that you don't recall seeing them at the table, but you don't recall where they went because you were kind of focused on cleaning, correct?
Right.
And there was one point at which you said that you joined them in family
yes.
room. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. But while you were cleaning, you said, I don't really know what they were doing, but they weren't there, correct?
Yes.
So you recall your husband and Brian Higgins left your view and went to some other place in the house that evening, correct?
They could have.
Ms. Albert, how many steps is it from the front door to the basement?
Steps?
It's a poorly worded question. I will rephrase it. When you open the front door of your house, how many steps does it take to get to the door to the basement?
Four or five.
You testified earlier that Brian Higgins left 34 Fairview first, correct?
Yes.
Then Matt McCabe, Jennifer McCabe, Sarah Levinson, and Julie Nagel left together, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the very last person to leave your house that night, you said today, under oath, was your daughter, Caitlin, correct?
Yes.
And you said she left your house close to 2 a.m., is that right?
Yep.
Ms. Albert, that's not what you told Sergeant Lank on January 29th, 2022, is it?
I don't recall what I told him.
Would it refresh your recollection to take a look at your statement to Sergeant Lank?
Sure.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to direct your attention to page 2 of this supplement.
Would you show the prosecutor, please?
Yes. Just the camera, please, report.
That's cool. Thank you. Your Honor, may we approach just briefly?
Okay. Ms. Little, maybe you can clarify that.
Sure. May I approach?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like you to take a look at page 2.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to read it out loud, but if you could read this very last paragraph here.
Down here, 7?
Actually, this section right
okay.
here, the second paragraph to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to read it out loud, just look up once you're done.
And are you going to clarify that, Ms. Little? Statement?
Can I approach, Your Honor? Ms. Albert, this is just a police report containing an interview that was conducted, correct?
Yes.
With Sergeant Lank on January 29th, is that right?
Yes, the morning of.
Thank you. Have you had a chance to...
Yes, yes.
Is your recollection refreshed?
Yep.
Isn't it true that you told Sergeant Lank that your daughter left at 12:15 on January 29th?
Do not recall saying that. I've maintained in every interview testimony I've had that she was the last to leave. So I don't know, it was very confusing that morning. Officer Lank was trying to ask everybody, where had you been? Where had you been? When did you get here? When did you leave? I don't know if somehow it was misconstrued, but I've always maintained that Caitlin was the last to leave.
Understood. And that's because Sergeant Lank was talking to everyone at the same time, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting around the table. It was a little, everyone was, you know, we're all in shock and it was a little confusing.
Sure. It was more of a conversation than an interview. Is that right?
I guess you could say that.
May I approach?
Yes.
Ms. Albert, do you deny saying that to Sergeant Lank?
I don't believe I said that. I think maybe someone was saying, oh, Jen and Matt got there at 12:15. He misunderstood. It got misconstrued later in his notes. But I've always said in any other time I was questioned that my daughter was the last one to leave. So I don't.
So you weren't trying to protect your daughter?
No.
You were forthcoming about always providing the troopers with information about the individuals who were present that night?
Yes.
Ms. Albert, you and your family discussed this case at length before your interviews with law enforcement, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow it. Did you?
Of course we discussed the case, but just everything that was going on, we were trying to figure out what happened.
And you testified that you spoke to Trooper Proctor on February 3rd, 2022, is that correct?
Yes.
That would be 6 days after this occurred. Is that right?
Yep.
And that's the very first time that you were ever interviewed by Massachusetts State Police.
Yes. Correct? Yep.
Aside from that sort of conversation you described with Sergeant Lank.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. When you spoke to Trooper Proctor on February 3rd, 2022, you left a lot of names out of individuals who were present at your house on the morning of January 29th, 2022, isn't that correct?
I'm not sure who was left out.
Did you tell Trooper Proctor that your son, Brian Albert Jr., was home that night?
Was home the night of his birthday, or what do you mean?
Yes, the night of his birthday.
Well, yeah, he was home with his friends.
Did you tell that to Trooper Proctor?
I assume I did.
So if it wasn't in his report, that would have been his mistake?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Did you tell Trooper Proctor your daughter, Caitlin Albert, returned home with you after the waterfall?
I believe so.
Did you tell Trooper Proctor that your son had two female friends at your house when you arrived?
I believe so.
And notably, did you tell Trooper Proctor that Colin Albert was present at your house?
You know, I probably didn't, because anytime I was questioned about who was there, to me it was, who was there afterwards, hanging out from like the 12:15 point on. I didn't consider Colin as being there because I literally crossed paths with him. He left, and I didn't consider him being a part of the group that was there.
Were you asked who was at the house that night?
I assume he asked that. But I also didn't mention the girl, the people that my son had previous, because I didn't consider them as part of the people that I was with when I got home.
You never mentioned Colin Albert to Trooper Proctor, correct?
Correct.
And you never mentioned Colin Albert to Sergeant Lank?
Correct.
Ms. Albert, you knew that if you gave Trooper Proctor the name of your nephew, that he would have to interview him, correct?
Objection.
All right, I'm going to sustain that objection.
You didn't want your kids or your nephew to have to tell the police what they saw, what they heard, and what they did that night.
Objection.
I'm going to allow that. Is that true?
That is not true.
But you never told Trooper Proctor about Colin Albert.
I didn't mention Colin because I didn't consider him as part of the group that we were hanging out with after the waterfall, because he left as soon as I walked in. I didn't even think of him.
Didn't even think of him.
No.
Didn't think it might be important for the state trooper who was investigating this case to know the individuals who were leaving at the precise time that Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed arrived at the house.
Objection.
Sustained.
Ms. Albert, what's the first thing you remember waking up to on the morning of January 29th?
My sister bombing into my bedroom.
Okay. Your Honor, if we could approach.
Okay, approach sidebar, or are you... Okay.
Yes.
So, Ms. Little, we're going to mark what you have in your hand for identification.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert, I'd like to show you this photograph which purports to be...
Just show her the photograph.
Ms. Albert, do you recognize that photograph?
Yep.
What is it?
It's a picture of my house.
Does it appear to be generally to scale?
Yep.
Do you recognize sort of the flagpole in the yard?
Yes.
The house?
Yep.
The driveway?
Mm-hmm.
And that looks
yes.
accurate. And that looks accurate in terms of scale, correct?
Yes.
Permission to publish?
Sure.
Ms. Albert, where is your bedroom located?
Do you want me to show it?
Yes, if you could explain.
Right up here.
So, your bedroom is in that upper left-hand quadrant, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The far left window, that's your bedroom window.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep, the two of them.
So on January 29th, you had two bedroom windows on the left side of the house that were facing the front lawn where Mr. O'Keefe's body was found, correct?
Yes.
You're aware that Ms. Reed, Jennifer McCabe, and Carrie Roberts arrived outside your property around 6:04 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Did you hear any fire trucks that morning?
I did not.
Did you hear any ambulances?
I did not.
You didn't see the flashing lights of emergency vehicles outside your bedroom window?
I did not. My blinds were shut. My curtains were closed. I did not see anything.
You testified the very first thing you remember was Jennifer McCabe waking you up in your bedroom.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, just to keep track, are we going to take this down now, Ms. Little? Or yes. Keep the lights on? I just want to keep track of that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. What time was that?
I thought it was somewhere between 6 and 6:30.
May I have a moment?
Sure.
If I told you it was around 6:45 based on video surveillance footage, would you quarrel with that?
If that's what you say.
Okay. Does that sound about right to you?
Yep. I initially from the beginning just said 6:30. I wasn't quite sure.
Ms. Albert, what about the two calls that you received from your sister at 6:07 and 6:08 a.m., which were answered?
I never answered any phone calls from my sister that morning.
You're aware that the Cellbrite records indicated that you answered two calls from your sister.
Objection, Your Honor.
And 6:08 a.m.
The objection sustained.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Okay.
You could take a look at this report. Ms. Albert, you received...
If I could just see what's being shown to the witness before. Thank you. May we approach?
Okay.
No.
I'm going to take that, please. All right, so let's mark one for identification, please, Ms. Little.
Thank you.
Okay, and you can give it back to Ms. Albert.
Thank you.
And you can go back and ask a question, and let's see where we go with this, okay?
Ms. Albert, do you recognize this document?
Recognize it?
Do you know what it is?
Well, yeah, I see what it is.
Does it refresh your recollection as to the two calls you received on the morning of January 29th?
It says here two calls were placed.
Okay, don't read it, but you were asked a specific question. So if you could answer the question, okay. Please.
Does that refresh your recollection to the two calls you received from your sister on the morning of January 29th?
She may have placed those phone calls to me, but I never answered them.
You received a call from Jennifer McCabe on January 29th at 6:07:42 a.m. that lasted for 9 seconds, correct?
She may have placed a phone call to me. I never answered it. I never spoke to her that morning.
You also received a second call from your sister at 6:08:17 a.m. that lasted for 7 seconds, correct?
Objection.
Go ahead and answer that.
It says that, but I never answered a phone call from my sister Jennifer that morning.
You're aware that cell phone companies have what are called tolling records, correct? That show if there's a voicemail or something of that nature.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Ms. Albert, it's your testimony here today that you never spoke to your sister that morning.
I never spoke to my sister on the phone that morning.
Who else was in your bedroom that morning?
Me and my husband.
You and Brian Albert were the only two individuals who could have answered those calls that morning, correct?
We're the only two people in the room, besides the dog.
And at 6:07 a.m., someone had a 9-second call with Jennifer McCabe, correct?
Objection.
All right, sustained. And you've got more for this witness, I imagine, Ms. Little?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so we'll take the lunch and recess, folks. It's 1 o'clock. Sorry.
Goodbye.
Okay.
I do, but okay. I don't necessarily need them out of this. It's probably
it's
in there.
One, I think that's not an evidence yet. I think that's from someone else's phone.
Madam Court Reporter, do you need me for anything? Okay.
You are unmuted.
Thank you. Please be seated. Close back in session.
All right. Can we have Ms. Albert, please? All right, Ms. Little, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, before we start, Exhibit S, which was marked for identification, I believe the proper foundation is laid. I'd ask.
So let's not do that from there. Let me see it, please.
Sure.
Do we have S, S as in Sam, or X?
Identification.
S as in Sam?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, it wasn't today?
Why don't you come to sidebar, folks?
The parties have stipulated that Exhibit X is a graphic representation of 34 Fairview.
Yeah, not a photo.
Not a photograph.
Okay, sure. Now you can approach the witness if you... Oh, you just want to put it into evidence now?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So that will be our next exhibit, Madam Court Reporter.
Exhibit 66, Your Honor.
Thank you.
You actually need it.
She needs it. She has to approach.
May I approach?
Yes.
Ms. Albert, you testified that Jennifer McCabe woke you up around 6:45 a.m., correct?
I believe I said between 6 and 6:30, but could have been 6.
That was what woke you up, correct?
Yes.
She obviously had access to the house.
Yes.
The door wasn't locked.
Nope.
That's sort of a typical practice for you.
Yeah, it was just sometimes with the kids, the last one in, supposed to lock it, they didn't, you know, it just wasn't always locked.
And inside your house, you had plenty of blankets and other items that could have been comfort to a man laying in the snow, correct?
Yes.
So as to that form, I'm going to sustain the objection. You can ask the question a different way, Ms. Little.
Ms. Albert, you had blankets inside of your house that could have helped someone who's freezing outside.
Objection.
So I'm going to sustain the objection. You can ask a shorter form of that question.
Ms. Albert, you had blankets in the house, correct?
Yes.
You were also lying next to a first responder.
Objection.
That morning, correct?
You can answer that.
Yes.
And neither you nor your husband came outside to help John. Correct.
We did not go outside because we had no idea what was going on outside. We were sound asleep until my sister came into my bedroom.
No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Lally?
Thank you, Your Honor.
With regard to phone calls from your sister Jennifer McCabe that morning, shortly after 6 a.m., did those phone calls wake you up?
No.
Did you answer those phone calls?
No.
Did you speak to Jennifer McCabe on the phone prior to her, or at any point on that morning prior to her coming into your room?
I did not.
And you were shown something that's a Cellbrite extraction report, correct?
Yes.
And not just that specific one, but have you ever seen any Cellbrite extraction report before in your life?
No.
So fair to say you don't know how to interpret the data that's on there?
No.
Fair to say that you don't know whether or not an answered call or something that's listed as answered was something that was actually answered or went to voicemail.
Correct.
Now, with regard to your dog, Chloe, following that incident in May of 2022, what, if anything, did you and your husband do with regard to the person that had been bitten?
Well, we had gone over to their house to apologize for what had happened and, you know, offered to pay any bills, you know, that they may have had for any injury to the dog or anything. And then after that, we just decided that we thought the best thing to do would be to try to rehome it because I just didn't want something like that to happen again.
And can you explain to the jury sort of what are the steps that you took in the process of rehoming your dog?
Well, initially I had called a bunch of shelters and they were pretty much telling me that it would be hard to rehome her. She was dog aggressive and they would probably have to put her down. I didn't want to do that. The family, you know, we love the dog. And so I did not want to do that. So I reached out to the woman in Texas who we got the dog from to see if she could help. And she said, you know, she couldn't take it back, but she would try to help me out. So she ended up finding a woman who lived in Vermont. I think she lived alone. She had big property. It seemed like a good fit. She wanted to take Chloe, and we made arrangements, and I went and met this woman halfway, and I gave her Chloe.
And what, if any, conversations or contact have you had with that woman in Vermont since rehoming your dog?
For a few months after, I...
Objection, Your Honor.
So not the substance of it, but...
Have you had contact with the woman in Vermont?
Yes, I did for a few months, back and forth.
Now, with reference to Chloe, when your sister Jennifer McCabe comes into your bedroom hysterical that morning of January 29th, was Chloe in the room at the time?
Yes.
Now, you were asked some questions about the evening or the early morning when people had come from the waterfall back to your home, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you were cleaning and Mr. Higgins and your husband were out of your line of sight, is that correct?
Yes.
How long a period of time were we talking about?
It wasn't very long, could a couple minutes. I wasn't watching where everybody was and what everybody was doing.
Fair to say, relatively short period of time.
Yes. Yes.
I have nothing further.
Okay.
Briefly, Your Honor.
Okay. So you need to take this down, sir. Thank you. There was something that was just up there. Go ahead.
Ms. Albert, you never received any voicemails from Jennifer McCabe on January 29th, did you?
Not that I'm aware of.
You also have never produced, pursuant to our request, any documentation about the whereabouts of Chloe.
The objection sustained. I'm going to strike that question. Disregard the question. Well, questions aren't evidence, so we can leave it on the record, but the objection sustained.
You've never turned over any information about the location of Chloe since the pendency of this case, have you?
Objection, Your Honor, may we approach?
I'm just going to sustain the objection. Okay.
Have you ever provided information about the whereabouts of Chloe to the Commonwealth in this case?
Yes, I believe I have.
You have?
I believe so.
When did you do that?
Your Honor, may we approach?
Yes.
No further questions.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, Ms. Albert, you are all set.
Thank you.
Your next witness, Mr. Lively?
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth call, excuse me, Mr. Brian Albert to the stand.
I do.
All right, whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Your Honor, and good afternoon to the jury.
Good afternoon.
So could you please state your name and spell your last name?
Sure, it's Brian, last name Albert, A-L-B-E-R-T.
And where do you live, sir?
I live in Norwood, Massachusetts.
How long have you lived in Norwood?
Approximately a year.
And who, if anyone, do you live in Norwood with?
My wife, Nicole, and my son, Brian, and my son, Brendan.
Actually, just a little bit about your family as far as, let me start with yourself and your wife, Nicole. How long have the two of you been married?
Approximately 29 years.
And were you together for a period of time prior to getting married?
Yes, we've known each other since we were 13, 14 years old.
And do you have any siblings, sir?
I do.
And how many siblings do you have?
I have five brothers and one sister.
And if you could, just as far as, are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest of seven, yes.
And as far as your brothers and sisters are concerned, what are their names and if you could rank them sort of by age?
Sure, the next sibling after me is my sister Kathleen. Then I have a brother, Chris, a brother, Kevin, a brother, Keith, a brother, Brendan, and a brother, Timmy.
And you and your wife, Nicole, do you have children of your own?
Yes.
And how many children do you have?
Five.
And how old are they?
So my oldest daughter is 29. My son Brian is 25. My son Brendan turns 23 today. And I have twins, or we have twins that are 20 years old. Caitlin's 28, I'm sorry, I said 29.
Now, prior to living at your address in Norwood, where did you live before that?
Canton, Mass.
And how long have you lived in Canton?
Approximately in the house on Fairview Road, approximately 11 years.
And in total, about how long have you been a resident of Canton? Before moving to Norwood?
Approximately 45 years.
And that address, that's 34 Fairview Road, is that right?
Yes.
And what, if any, relationship did that home or that residence have to your family before you and your wife and your kids moved in?
My parents had lived at that residence prior to us.
So you had spent some of your childhood in that house as well?
Yes.
And do you work, sir?
I retired.
What did you retire from?
The Boston Police Department.
And how long were you a member of the Boston Police Department?
Approximately 30 years.
And within the Boston Police Department, were you assigned to any sort of specific unit or special duties?
My last assignment, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
My last assignment was the Boston Police Fugitive Unit.
Now, sir, if I could turn your attention to January 28th, 2022. Do you recall that date?
Yes.
And do you recall what day of the week that was?
The 28th, I believe, was a Friday.
And when you first sort of got up on the 28th, where were you with that?
On the 28th, I was in New York City.
And why had you gone to New York?
So I went to New York for a funeral of a New York City police officer who was killed in the line of duty.
And about what time or what day did you go down to New York for that?
We went down the day before, so I believe that was Thursday.
You recall how it was that you got down there?
Yes, I flew to New York.
And when you say we, who, if anyone, went with you on that trip to New York for the funeral?
I flew with a friend and a coworker. Named Eddie Hernandez.
So another Boston police officer?
Yes.
And down in New York at that funeral, were there other members of law enforcement that you knew or were familiar with from working?
Yes, there were thousands of police officers that went to the funeral.
And included within those people, you mentioned you have a brother Kevin, is that correct?
Yes.
Is he a police officer as well?
He is.
And where is he?
He's a detective in Canton, Massachusetts.
And was he down at this funeral as well?
He was.
And do you know a gentleman by the name of Brian Higgins?
Yes.
And was Brian Higgins at this funeral service as well?
Yes, he was.
And how is it that you know Brian Higgins?
So I know Brian Higgins initially from work, professional relationship. I've known him known of him for 10 or 15 years. And then the past few years, more recently, we worked together on a closer basis, and I became better friends with him.
And fair to say that when you became better friends with him, you also sort of socialized with him outside of work?
Yes.
Now, as far as your return trip from New York, what, if anything, happened with that?
On the return trip from New York, we drove back.
Why did you drive versus fly back when you flew?
So that weekend, there was anticipated snowstorm, and I believe the flight that we were taking with JetBlue may have even been canceled. And Brian Higgins was leaving in a vehicle that morning, so we ended up driving, or after the funeral, we ended up driving with him.
And so it's yourself, Mr. Higgins, and then who, if anyone else, went with you on the drive back to Massachusetts?
Eddie Hernandez and my brother Kevin.
And when you arrived back in Massachusetts, where was it sort of specifically that you went first?
I initially went to Charlestown to pick up my vehicle.
Where was your vehicle parked in Charlestown?
It was at a police station, Charlestown Station. It's a satellite station located in Charlestown.
And that was in reference to proximity to the airport, is that correct?
Yes.
So that would have been Logan that you flew out of and intended to fly back into?
Logan Airport, yes.
And after you were dropped off with your vehicle, what kind of vehicle was that?
That was a Ford Edge.
Was that a personal vehicle or a work
vehicle? Work vehicle.
And so you get dropped back off at your work vehicle. Where did you go?
So from Charlestown, we drove, I drove back towards the Canton area, and I met Brian Higgins at a restaurant bar called The Hillside.
Is that in Canton as well?
I believe so. It's on the Canton-Milton line. I believe it sits in Canton.
And what was the purpose of you and Mr. Higgins going?
After the drive home, he asked if I wanted to get some food and stop off, and I said yes.
And if you know, about what time was it that you got to the Hillside with Mr. Higgins?
I want to say around 9:30, perhaps. Not entirely sure.
When you arrived there, what did you do?
So we went into the establishment and had a drink and hung out for a while.
And did you order any food there?
I did not. I believe Brian did, though.
And while you were at the Hillside with Mr. Higgins, what, if any, communication did you receive from your wife, Nicole?
So around that time, I talked to my wife, I think more than once, and she had let me know that her and a few people were at another location in Canton, and she had asked if I wanted to come by and see them.
What was that other location?
That other location was the Waterfall.
Is that an establishment you were familiar with?
Yes.
You've been there before several times?
I had been there before, yes.
And so you drove then from the Hillside to the Waterfall?
Yes.
And about how long a drive is that, if you know?
Maybe 7 minutes, between less than 10 minutes.
And so as you're going on that drive, the snow that was anticipated coming in, had that anything related to that started yet?
No, I at that time, I don't recall any snow.
And in relation to the Waterfall, where did you park?
In the parking lot for the Waterfall, which is adjacent to the door to go inside. So it's to the left if you're looking at the building from Washington Street.
And when you come into, now, when you left the Hillside, Mr. Higgins stayed there?
Yes, he stayed.
And when you came into the Waterfall, who, if anyone, was there?
So when I walked in and I saw my wife, my oldest daughter, Caitlin, I saw my brother, Chris, his wife, Julie, my brother-in-law, Matt, and my sister-in-law, Jen.
And your brother-in-law, Matt, and your sister-in-law, Jen, their last name is McCabe, is that right?
Yes.
And if you could just explain to the jury sort of how to where you were related as far as where it is.
So my brother Chris's wife is Julie, and then Nicole's sister is Jen, and then Jen's husband is Matt McCabe.
And is it fair to say that you've probably known Jennifer McCabe about as long as you've known your wife, Nicole?
Yes, since she was a little kid, maybe 6-7 years old.
And you see these people, and where are they sort of situated in the water?
So there was a high-top table kind of in the front area as you walk in, kind of in the middle of the room, and everybody was just kind of around the high-top table.
And what, if anything, was there as far as live entertainment at the Waterfall that night?
There was a band playing there.
And with reference to the people that you've just spoken, as far as your wife and your daughter specifically, were they at the high-top table closer to the band or further away from the band?
So they were on the side of the table that's, I guess, closer to the door as you come in. And then there were other people on the opposite side of the table that was closer to the bar area.
And after you came into the Waterfall, went up to the group of your family, what did you do? Did you order anything? What did you do there?
Yeah, I kind of just said hi to everybody. I don't recall exactly, but I'm sure I ordered a drink. And then just kind of hung out with family and friends.
And following your arrival, who, if anyone else, showed up and eventually sort of joined your group?
There was another couple at the table. I don't know if they were there initially when I walked in, but there was another couple at the table whom I believed were there before I got there, but I just don't know what their names were.
And do you know how they were related to your group?
I don't. I think they are friends with Jen and Matt, but I'm not 100% sure.
And where were they situated in reference to where your wife and your daughter were?
So they were, I believe, to the right of this pretty large high-top table.
So towards the other end of the table?
Yes.
And if you recall, what were you drinking that night?
I don't recall. I usually drink beer, Mick Ultra, but I can't remember that night what I was drinking.
Now, following your arrival there and you meet up with your family, were there other friends or family that eventually showed up at this establishment and joined your group?
Yes.
And who were they, sir?
So after I was there, maybe about a half hour, Brian Higgins arrived at the location.
And if you recall, what, if any, sort of communication did you have with Mr. Higgins, or how did Mr. Higgins know to come to the waterfall specifically?
Because while we were at the hillside, I had mentioned that I was going to be leaving to go to the waterfall to see my family who was already there, and I invited him to come by if he wanted to.
And at any point in time, sort of throughout the course of the day, you, yourself and Mr. Higgins, you had each other's sort of information and cell numbers, things like that?
Yes.
And at any point in time throughout the course of the day or the evening, did you have occasion to text or phone call or anything with Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Now, after Mr. Higgins arrived, who, if anyone else, came into the waterfall and joined you?
Probably after about a half hour later from Brian Higgins arriving, John O'Keefe came into the waterfall with the defendant.
And that would have been probably about 11 o'clock, is that correct?
Yes.
And John O'Keefe, if you could tell the jury, well, first, did you know John O'Keefe?
So I knew John O'Keefe, but not well. I had only met him two times prior to that night. But I knew him to be a Boston cop, and I knew of him, and I knew some things about him.
And as far as the Boston Police Department, it's a fairly large department. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And about how many members or how many people are on Boston Police?
Depending on the year, I mean, sometimes it's upwards of 2,000.
And through the course of your work over the decades that you worked with the Boston Police, did you ever work with or have any professional sort of interaction with John O'Keefe?
No, I don't remember working with him directly within the Boston Police Department.
Were you aware of sort of what his role was or what he did within the Boston Police?
Yes, I knew where he worked.
And where did he work?
I believe he worked at the SORI unit, which is the Sex Offender Registry Unit.
And you mentioned just briefly before that you had heard of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Yes.
And what is it that you had heard about?
Well, I knew him to be a friend of my sister-in-law, Jen, and her husband, Matt. I knew him to be a friend of my brother, Chris, and my sister-in-law, Julie. I knew him to be a friend of my brother, Kevin's. I've heard his name mentioned multiple times, and I knew that he had a horrible couple tragedies in his family, and I knew that he stepped up and decided to take care of his niece and his nephew when they tragically lost their parents.
And how would you sort of describe your relationship with John O'Keefe at this time, January 28, 2022?
Although I didn't know him well, I considered him to be a friend, and our relationship was very, very good. Cordial, and you know, I considered him to be somebody that I could hang out with and have a good time with.
Now, you mentioned that Mr. O'Keefe walked in around 11 o'clock to the waterfall with the defendant, just for clarity purposes. You're referring to Karen Reed, is that correct?
Yes.
And do you see Ms. Reed in the courtroom today?
Yes, I do.
Could you just identify as to where she's seated or an article of clothing she's wearing?
Sure. She's a female at the table in front of me with a black top on, long sleeve.
Just ask the record reflect identification and identify the witness.
Yes.
Now, with regard to Ms. Reed, had you met Ms. Reed prior to that date of January 28th?
I believe I had met her one time a week prior.
And do you recall any specifics about that meeting or how it is that you came to meet her about a week prior?
I do.
And if you could explain to the jury what those circumstances were.
Sure. I met her at the Hillside. I believe she was there with John a week prior.
And as far as your interaction with her on that particular evening, anything significant stand out to you?
No.
Now, when they came in, and by they, I'm sorry, I mean Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed came into the waterfall, where did they go in relation to where you were sort of situated at the high top?
So I don't remember them actually walking in the front door. I remember them being in my general area at some point. And they went towards the other side of the table where my sister-in-law, Jen, and my brother-in-law, Matt, were standing.
And at some point, did either or both of them make their way down towards your side of the table, your side of the table, excuse me, and what, if any, interaction did you have?
Yes, I remember having an interaction, or more than one interaction, with John. Came over to say hello, and we had some conversation, not for too long, but yes.
Do you remember anything specific about that conversation or anything stand out to you?
No, I think we were talking mostly about work. I think he let me know that the sergeant, I guess, that worked in his unit was leaving or left or transferred. And, you know, he was jokingly saying that I should try to get a job over at where he works.
And as far as the defendant, Ms. Reed, what, if any, conversation or interaction did you have?
I don't remember having any interaction with her whatsoever.
Now, as far as when Mr. O'Keefe came over, what, if anything, did you observe as far as what he was wearing, clothing, anything like that?
I don't really remember what he was wearing for clothing. I believe he had a baseball hat on. Other than that, I can't remember his clothing.
And specifically, do you recall anything as far as like a winter jacket or a big coat or anything like that?
I can't say. I wasn't really paying attention to what he was wearing. I don't know.
And as far as just his general features, as far as what you could observe, what, if any, sort of injuries or anything did you observe on his person at that time?
I observed no injuries at that time.
And over the course of the evening, you had a couple of interactions with Mr. O'Keefe, is that correct?
Yeah, I believe we talked a few times, kind of hung out, stood next to each other for a while, like you normally would do at a bar restaurant.
And is the band playing while this is going on, is that correct?
Yes, the band was there. You know, I believe they took a break here and there, but they were there for the night.
Now, Mr. Albert, how would you describe sort of the general mood or demeanor of the group while you were at the waterfall that evening?
In one word, it would be fun. Everybody was in a great mood. People were getting along. It was friends and family, and it was just seemed like a great night.
And do you recall about what time things started to wind down or things started to sort of end for the evening?
I believe the band stopped playing probably, you know, close to 12, and things started winding down, you know, a little before 12.
And if you know, from the group that you just described at the high top table that you were a part of, what was sort of the order of in which people left the establishment, starting with the first?
So I believe the first to leave was myself, my wife Nicole, my daughter Caitlin, and Brian Higgins left at that time as well.
And had anybody left from your group prior to when, I'm sorry, so the bar starts to wind down around 12, correct?
Yes.
Prior to the bar winding down, had anybody from your group left before that?
I didn't remember or notice that. I'm not sure.
And so the first to sort of leave from your group when the bar is winding down is yourself, Mr. Higgins, your wife, and your daughter?
Yes.
And when you exit the establishment, where do you go?
Into the parking lot to my vehicle.
Let me take you back just for a moment back into the waterfall. During the course of the evening, what, if any, conversation was had by you or amongst the group that you observed as far as where to go next or what were you doing following the waterfall?
Okay, so there was some conversation relative to people going to my brother's sub shop, which is across the street, and he was maybe going to make some pizzas for people if they were hungry. So that was discussed.
And did that end up happening?
No, some people didn't want to go over there, and for whatever reason, it just didn't happen.
And beyond that, was there anything else that was discussed as far as where to go after the waterfall?
Yes.
And what was that?
So it ended up being my son Brian's 23rd birthday. So at 12 o'clock, he would be 23. So there was some discussion about if anybody wanted to go by the house to kind of say happy birthday to him. And I know my wife, Nicole, mentioned it to Jen and Matt. And it was said, I believe, in the group where we were standing.
And so was that sort of an open invitation that was extended to pretty much anybody that was around the high top table?
Yeah, sure. Anybody that was there was welcome to come by if they wanted to.
And as far as you knew, as far as awareness of who was coming over to your house at 34 Fairview, who from the group were you aware of coming over?
I don't really remember the responses. I don't think I knew for sure if anybody was going to come, except Brian Higgins said he would come by.
And he had left around the same time as you?
Yes.
And had Brian Higgins been to your house before?
I believe he was at my house for a high school graduation party.
And high school graduation probably in the spring, is that correct?
It would have been the summer prior to that time. So my twins were graduating high school and we had something at the house and it was spring summer of the year prior.
And around that time, so that would have been 2021, is that correct?
Yes.
So around that time, there was still sort of vestiges or whatever of the COVID pandemic, is that correct?
Yes, actually that was just getting over, I think.
And so where was this graduation party at your house? Was that inside your house or outside your house or something?
It was actually out back. It was more of a cookout type thing.
And so as far as you can recall, prior to January 28, 2022, had Mr. Higgins been physically sort of inside your house for anything beyond using the bathroom?
Besides that graduation party, I don't believe he had ever been at my house. I'm sure he walked into the house, you know, to use the bathroom or something that day, but I didn't really notice, you know, whether he went in there or not.
And, Your Honor, with the court's permission, there's just a couple of very short clips that I'd like to publish with this witness in reference to what's been marked as Exhibit 53, the video from the waterfall. Ms. Gilman, with reference to channel 3, if I can have the fourth video now. And Ms. Gilman, if I could ask you to fast forward to 18 minutes and 50 seconds. Now, Mr. Albert, directing your attention up to the screen to your left, to your right here, do you recognize what's up on the screen?
Yes.
And what do you recognize that to be?
The waterfall.
And this is, at least according to the timestamp, about 11:57 p.m. on the 28th, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's up there is that, to the best of your recollection, a fair and accurate portrayal of what the inside of the waterfall looked like, absent sort of the quality of the video.
Yes.
And, sir, I believe there should be a laser pointer on the desk before you. If you just press that button and point at the screen, what I'm going to ask you to do is if you could draw the jury's attention to who, if anyone, within this sort of still frame of the video that you recognize, if any.
With the time band across the top there, I can't really, I can see some people around the table that we were standing, which would be this table area here. Tough for me to say from here who everybody is. I believe that's Brian Higgins there, but I'm not 100%.
Ms. Gilman, if you could play this, and what I'm going to ask you to ultimately play is up to the 19 minute and 58 seconds. Gilman, if you could pause it there. Now, Mr. Albert, from what you observe up there, as far as the door that you came in and came out of on that evening, do you see generally where that door is?
Yes.
And if you could direct the jury's attention to where on the video screen it is?
Door's this way.
And from just prior to in this video, we're now stopped at the 11:57 and 50-second mark, you see a group sort of making their way towards that front door, is that correct?
Yes.
And from this vantage point, are you able to recognize any of the people in that group that made their way towards you?
Yes, I believe I saw my wife, my daughter here maybe, and then I think I'm over here. But again, it's a little grainy and I can't really see great from here. And I saw Brian Higgins, but I don't know where if he's in here somewhere.
Thank you, Ms. Gilman. If you could just press play again for about 30 minutes. Come on, second.
Raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin. Grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.